The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 189. I'm radio's Gil Alexander. That's television's Kelly Bidlin. Soak him in, ladies.
Hey.
Soak him in. Still to come on the show, Bill Krakenberger. From a remote location, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. We'll find out what's on his mind. Elihu Foistel joining us to talk teasers. Yeah, I'm serious, man. Get the notebook ready. Get your notes app ready on your computer, because this is going to be something.
You might need a spreadsheet.
I don't know how he's going to fit it in 10 minutes. 10 to 12 minutes. We'll see. We get tweets, Speedy the Book. Always appreciate everybody hanging out with us every morning. Best listeners in the game, no question. K-Flow. Why does the USTA have a one seed play the three seed in the semis and a two versus a four? Shouldn't it be one versus four, two versus three? The rare exception where the NCAA has something slash anything correct. Well, okay. So the NCAA tournament is what you're referring to, and it is seeded, you are correct, 1 through 16 in bracket form. The issue with tennis is the rankings don't change that quickly and that dramatically. So if you played it by actual ranking every slam, every tournament, you would get the same people playing the same people over and over and over again. So they have to randomize the draw, and they don't reseed. Unlike the NFL playoffs, which reseeds after every round, they don't reseed in tennis. So it sticks to the bracket, but it starts from a point of randomization because tennis is just the nature of it. You have to do that. Otherwise, you're just going to get the same matchups too often. I hope that makes sense. Xander Horwitz. Kelly talking about the travel again. George is getting upset.
Get real upset! No more travel! Let's play the game, Gil! God!
Jim Campbell. I'm trying to decide what I'm more sick of hearing about. The Pat schedule last year or the travel to Australia for tonight's game. Both are factual, but I'll be excited to move on from both. Me too, Jim.
Okay.
Me
too. Jim, I'm going to be the buzzkill then on the other side here because I just found another fun Drake May stat.
Oh. Drake May, who has now called his performance last night, quote, unacceptable. Unquote.
This is from the Hard Rock Sportsbook account, so I'm just going to throw that out there, because if anybody follows that account, oh boy, do they get a little, I mean, they don't have any competition in Florida, so they tweet whatever the hell they want sometimes. 0-12 is Drake May versus teams with a winning record?
Oof.
Straight up?
Oof.
Oof.
Ooh.
Schedules matter.
New Jersey, New York, GV. I know we're in football-centric mindset, but I got to say this to Kelly. Bodø/Glimt is a real team, and they've got a real tendency for high-scoring games the past 5 years in European competitions.
I did pull this up. As you guys know, I'm always interested and fascinated by our, Champions League, especially since we've expanded, right? What are we out to, like 64 teams? Some ridiculous. Mm. Bayern versus Bodø/Glimt, the fourth four champions in the Norwegian something league.
Colin Murphy, Scott Seidenberg had a great breakdown on unders with teams whose starting quarterbacks did not take a snap in the preseason. Essentially, those teams are coming in nearly 3 points under their team totals for the game, 2 points for their first half team totals. That is a good number. Good stat. 3Jock H3131. Leave it to Gil to nerd out on the music in the Sydney Sweetie commercial. I didn't even hear the music.
You know, I didn't hear it until the very end when I was like, wait a second, I've heard this music in another commercial before.
Don't make it look good.
Yeah,
D-Mill 3219, be landing Gil and, what do you say? Oh, Gilly Ice, he says. Be landing soon from New York. Which Vegas book can I find U.S. Open tennis lines minus the spread? MGM for sure. Bet MGM, easy peasy, and I think Caesars has them as well. Scola, oh, here you go. Sweeney, overrated, he says. Far from the celebrity ladies of the 90s. Scola, I'm with you on the overrated part, but let's be honest. That commercial, it was kind of hard to focus on any overrating.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, sure. A little bit.
Sure. Overrate this.
Overrated, yeah, right? Overrate just feels like a strong word.
Shrek McPhee. Seattle's a good team, we know, but they won the Super Bowl last night largely because of Dixon. His punts are unbelievable every single time. Michael Dixon, I will say this, when he was at the University of Texas, I can't remember if it was a bowl game or not, he had the greatest single punting performance of any punter I've ever seen at any level. Just pinning the opposing team inside like the 10 and 5, maybe 7 or 8 times. It was a remarkable
That's a good call. That's a good call. He was impressive.
He was great.
Night.
Right Angle Sports, Mike Reardon coming up later on the show for a live college football release. He is tweeting that out as well. The numbers guys, did you really get screwed on that Hatchinoff game spread bet yesterday? Should have been an easy win for you. Oh, thanks for letting me know that. I had the money line. Oh, good for you. And I got paid at MGM. Well, you should have gotten paid at MGM if they have a one set grading. Do all the books cancel games spread bets on walkovers? Yes. Spread bets are all canceled everywhere. P.S. Why are you betting game spreads? Okay. Jeez. Yeah, it's great. Great armchair quarterback.
Also,
you know,
just to have Gil's back here for a second, he like rarely does too. That's the worst part.
Jack Olaquia.
Right? I mean, you are way more money lines than that.
Yeah, but that was a money line I wasn't willing to spend on. Gil and Kelly still in the air about an hour and a half from Vegas. Jimmy and I meeting our proxy 9:30 tomorrow morning. Planning to stop by. Looking forward to a football, full football weekend in town. Kind of scary. A lot of people on the Niners tonight. He's a Niners fan too. And Rick Olier, Zach mentioned how the Niners pass catchers are great, and one can only assume that he's talking about Dejon Love. Do we have any latter thoughts on him for tonight? Yeah, is Dejon Love playing? Let's ask some of his girlfriends.
You know what? Add that one to the list, too. I'm done, I'm done with those jokes. Let's play some games.
All right, Circa Million 8. Wow, eighth season of Circa Millions. Let's go.
That's crazy.
I started out with a push last night, and as Fezzik said, I'm done. I believe I'm mathematically eliminated from this entire competition. I will tell you my five plays. You want to just start there, and then we'll get to the
one? Sure, yeah.
All right, so I had the Seahawks last night.
I love that you're completely in.
I'm in.
I've barely thought about this and might be buying one more millions entry. I think really? I might do two. I think I might do two this year.
Really? I had the Seahawks last night -3. Did not anticipate Sam Darnold going out, and still should have covered even with Drew Lock. I have the Niners tonight +4. So those are actually, you know, the good of the number on both of those teams, Seahawks and Niners. Niners +4 tonight. Now, the other three that I settled on, Browns +8.5. I'm in the Will Hill school of, you know, besides quarterback, the roster is kind of great, kind of really good. It's not good to start any sentence with besides quarterback, by the way. But I just feel 8.5 points, thank you very much. I'll take those. I think the Browns, if they get anything out of the quarterback position, can cover that. The other two I ended up playing was I played the Lions -7 versus the Saints. I'm not a Tyler Shuck guy, and I think the Lions can go crazy on them. And the other one was I did take the Steelers. I did the Drew Dinsick Steelers -3.5. I was like, if this is Tua's only game, and he truly does suck as much as we're saying, and they can't put any pressure on Aaron Rodgers, give me the Steelers -3.5. It's perhaps more interesting what I didn't take, Kelly, which is I didn't take the Raiders, which we've talked about as a survivor play, and now Clint Kubiak and the Raiders coming out very casually and be like, oh, yeah, Brock Bowers. I don't know if you guys know about this, but he's going to miss a game or two after undergoing a meniscus trim on Tuesday. A meniscus trim. How do you keep this quiet in this day and age?
This was Clint Kubiak, and I always like when they reveal themselves. Confirmed liar.
Because
this was 2 hours before the news came out about Brock Bowers yesterday. Him at the podium saying, quote, yeah, we're expecting to have all our guys ready for Sunday. 2 hours later, Brock Bowers, just a trim, Gil.
Pants on fire.
But yeah, a week or two for Brock Bowers, not going to see him. I can tell you it's completely, we'll get to Survivor after Millions, but it's enough on a bad Raiders team that I'm no longer going to roll the dice with them in Survivor. And the 3.5 becomes interesting in Millions.
And the other one is the Jets Titans, which, you know, besides Zach this morning, we've got nothing but Jets traffic. I don't know how anyone has any conviction on either side. I don't want no part of that game. What are you considering here?
Jets.
Yeah.
Jets, Broncos will be plays for me for sure. Cowboys, Bears in consideration, even though I expect those to be very popular sides this week. And then, you know what, on the fifth one, I have no idea, Gil. You know what's been staring at me for a while, though, is that Colts +3.5. I think Ravens are going to be good, but I don't think the Colts are a joke. And a 3.5-point home dog on week one, that does interest me.
Already, Circa Million 8, disrespecting the Washington football team by reducing the Commanders to a singular commander.
I don't know if I've ever seen them do that before.
Commander.
That's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny.
I guess also noteworthy just for Millions lines, it is Jags 8.5, so not, you know, 8 or 9. There are some of those out there. The Texans just Bill's a half-point favorite.
Look, I'm playing the Fezzik, game, right?
Have you ever seen a half-point favorite in Millions? I don't remember ever seeing that before.
Cleve was pointing out that there are no pick'ems, which he thought was a bit surprising.
Yeah. Is that what are we doing half point faves instead of pick'ems now?
I don't know.
Maybe just to avoid ties?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
You'd have to ask the people.
And Cardinals Chargers just 8.5. That's on the lower side. There are some 8.5s out there for people that are maybe putting together teasers. There are some 8.5s out there, but it's not widely available right now.
Yeah. Three of mine are, you know, the Fezzik getting the best of it, right? Seahawks -3, Niners +4, Browns +8.5, right? So get the best of the number in those games where these are static lines, right? In other words, you're not getting the Seahawks -3.5. You're not getting the Niners +3.5.
No, I got you. So, I might be playing the Jags. We might be Oppo. I really like the Jags week 1.
Okay. Oppo right out of the gate.
And I'll tell you, as we transition to Survivor now, mm-hmm. I went from possibly, what was this, 2 days ago? 2 days ago, when Drew Dinsick was making a very good case for the Steelers. That got me excited about that, but I kind of cooled off on that pretty quickly. I don't fully trust the Steelers team. I think we might be making too much of this Falcons situation. So I got off that one, but I've been telling you for 2 weeks I was going to play the Raiders. The Bowers injury is enough to scare me off of that. So I think I'm going to end up being super conservative here week 1.
Oh, really?
Yes, which was not my plan.
Shoving on the Chargers.
Which is not my plan at all.
Are you shoving on the Chargers?
I think I'm shoving on the Jags, except for like one on the Chargers.
Really?
Yeah.
You have 3 of those again?
Yeah, 3.
I will definitely have some on the Chargers, but I'm thinking Steelers on at least one of them. But Raiders, I'm with you now. Like, now I'm not so sure about that.
And like Lions, I want to save, right? There's not a ton of the ones I'm interested in.
Clint Kubiak, you liar.
Liar.
Baseball next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, Kelly Bidlin, most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin and use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square. Gil Alexander, we get tweets. At Beatty the Book, the best listeners in the game. This is from Corbin. Corbin, what are you doing here? He says, can't wait for this game to start and for them to mention that it's in Australia, even more than it's been mentioned on A Numbers Game. Leave it to Gilly to give a nice Jewish spin on the Sydney Sweetie commercial. You sure Barry Bonds doesn't have some involvement in it? Oy vey. Hey, Corbin, don't be like everybody else, okay? Chas v'chalila that I should bring up that it was based on Hatikva, the Israeli national anthem. My God. People want to know these kind of details.
I learned something. I was happy
right.
to learn it.
Jeez. Fred Leonard, as a longtime Vikings fan, every time I hear another 2026 Viking lover, I have Todd's voice ringing in my ear. Why are we so excited about this Vikings club? And I kind of think Todd's right. Wow. Okay.
You know what? Can I answer that real quick? Because I understand why Todd was saying what he was saying yesterday. But this is my opinion. And I've always been a little higher, I feel like, than most on Kyler Murray. He's a tiny dude. I get it. The injuries are going to happen. That fear is always there with Kyler Murray. But when we just talk about jumping from one quarterback and what he is worth, and is even specifically to a point spread, to another one. The upgrade from, by the way, I don't know if you had noticed yesterday, J.J. McCarthy gets slotted 3rd on the depth chart. Not even number 2 anymore. That kid is washed already. No chance.
Man.
So when you make the leap from a J.J. McCarthy / Max Brosmer quarterback unit to a Kyler Murray, I think it's a massive leap forward in what you can bring to the offense.
Agree.
Plus adding, you know, Matt brought it up yesterday. I feel like it's been one of the most undersaid things when people are talking about the Vikings is Juwan Jennings. You know that as well as anybody. Yeah. That's a huge addition.
I said it's the best 3 wide receivers he's ever played with.
Yeah.
Jefferson, Jennings, and Addison.
And Addison, yeah.
New Jersey, New York. Regarding Michael Dixon, it was the 2017 Texas Bowl. Yes, it was. He got MVP from his performance, where every punt was inside the 5 or 10. The only other kicker or punter to win a bowl game MVP? Graham Gano in the 2008 Champ Sports Bowl.
Let's go.
New Jersey, New York adds, the fact I know this concerns me too, I promise.
I once...
Because you are cut from the numbers game cloth. That's why you know it.
I once...
Did you know the Anderson .Paak song was based on the Israeli national anthem? I'm curious if that's come up on the show yet.
I once had a few beers in me at Florida State University and shagged some punts from Graham Gaddoe.
Did you?
Yeah, me and a couple friends.
Did you?
He was just like outside kicking a ball by himself.
Did you injure your calf?
No, it was completely fine.
Oh, good for you.
No. Actually, I was able to judge them way better than Matt Brown's.
Jason H11, just a trim. It's a meniscus.
I know, right?
Matt Brown gets just a trim. That's what he says. James Fessler, why a numbers game is the best show on VSiN. He said Wednesday, Todd Wishnev fired up over parking prices, followed by Matt Brown, who hangs out at a bar and randomly joins a $100,000 contest. Today, Crackman and Street Smarts, followed by Drexel finance grad Elihuf Oystel. Thank you for that show promo. That's very nice, James. All right, Major League Baseball. Can we're going to do a whole bunch of stat categories, but apparently hits, stolen bases, and strikeouts is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, correct. This is what happens sometimes.
But let me just update those for people real quick, in case you're wondering. Hits, Luis Arraez of the Phillies, 174. Otto Lopez of the Marlins, 173. Yandy Diaz of the Rays, 170. So it's a log jam up there. Two National League players, and then Yandy Diaz, who's rolling with the hits lead in the American League. But it's all one major league category. So we can't find it, but Arraez holding onto a one-hit lead over Otto Lopez. Stolen bases, Nassim Nunez, 46. He's a National, right?
I was going to say, of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, he's a Natinal. Nassim Nunez, 46. Chandler Simpson of the Rays, 41. Jazz Chisholm of the Yankees, 40. So the American League one is tight, 41-40. But this is with betting. It's always the major league lead. So Nassim Nunez has a 5 stolen base lead. By the way, then it's Bobby Witt Jr. at 39. So American League is Simpson 41, Chisholm 40, Witt Jr. 39. National League is Nassim Nunez leading the entire major leagues with 46. Pete Crow Armstrong with 36. Pete Crow Armstrong, 4 stolen bases away from being a 40-40 guy.
Wow.
Let's go, PCA.
What a season.
What a season. And then the other one was strikeouts. Strikeouts not available anywhere. Mizzy Orowski, 236. Right now, by the way, the Brewers franchise record is 264. Ben Sheets in 2004, so he has a shot at beating that. No one is within. Well, I guess Gavin Williams of the Guardians is 8 back with 228 for the major league stat. Dylan Cease 227. Jesus Luzardo is the closest National League competitor to Mizzy Orowski with 221, a full 15 behind Mizzy Orowski. And by the way, Schlittler has 220. But anyway, it's the Miz with a nice cushion for strikeouts. 8 strikeout cushion major leagues. But anyway, stolen bases, hits, strikeouts, we can't find those anywhere. Here are the ones we did find. Home run leaders. These odds are up. Kyle Schwarber's got 44. He's minus 900. He has a 3 home run lead over the aforementioned Pete Crow Armstrong, who has 41. Pete Crow Armstrong is 5-1 to catch Kyle Schwarber. Junior Caminero leads the American League with 39, followed by Yordan Alvarez at 38. Then it's Matt Olson and Hunter Goodman of the Braves and Rockies, respectively, at 37. But remember, this category is for the entire major leagues.
Yeah.
So Schwarber with a 3 home run lead over Pete Crow Armstrong. Minus 900 on Schwarber, 5-1 on Pete Crow Armstrong to overtake him. Remember, there's only 2 weeks and change left in the regular season. That's why these numbers are what they are.
Yeah. This stuff irritates me, though, Gil. Like, Andrew and I were looking at this stuff 2 days ago. All of these categories are posted at multiple books, and I've just, like, checked 7 books.
They might come up again today.
They might, but it's only home run and RBI. And even, who was it, Caesars? Shout out to Caesars for having RBI up, because everybody else was just home run.
Let's go, Eric Biggio. MLB RBI leader Sal Stewart for the Cincinnati Reds, who we loved in March, April, and he's kept it going. 107 RBI to lead the majors. Alec Burleson and Jordan Walker, pair of Cardinals at 104 and 100. Current odds, Sal Stewart with a 3 RBI lead is at minus 180. Burleson's at plus 250, 3 back. Walker plus 850, 7 back. And then you get to the American League guys, Pete Alonso at 97 with a 1 RBI lead over Alvarez. Pete Crow Armstrong also has 97 for the Cubbies.
Oh, man. Those three names are obviously tempting, but this is too little time left, right?
Yeah.
14-1, 15-1. Nah. Like, you got to have longer numbers.
You got
to
make
even
up 10 RBI in 2.5 weeks. Right. No,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, they could have a ridiculous explosion game, but yeah.
Even Burleson at plus 250 feels low. By the way, if you had told me before yesterday,
let's talk about. You want to talk about MVP next? Let's talk about MVP. So, real quick on the MVP races, these are over. Yordan Alvarez is minus 5,000 in the American League. Alvarez, 312 batting average, leads the American League. He's one homer behind Caminero and homers. He's one RBI behind Alonso in RBI. In other words, he is on the cusp of a triple crown, but right now he's on the outside looking in both home runs and RBIs by one in each category. But he leads the AL in OBP at 428. He leads the AL in slugging at 593. He's second in hits behind Diaz with 162, and he's tied with Miguel Vargas of the White Sox with 95 runs to lead the American League. He's absolutely the American League MVP, whether he wins the triple crown or not. NL MVP, guess what? Katie bar the door. This has been over too. Pete Crow Armstrong. Can we just talk about him for a second? Because as much as we have, I don't think we've done enough. As we mentioned, three homers behind Schwarber for the most home runs in the major leagues. He's got 41. He's got 97 RBI, 10 behind Stewart, as we just mentioned, in RBI in the National League. But his 572 slugging leads the National League. His 0.948 OPS leads the National League. By the way, we mentioned 36 stolen bases. He is four stolen bases shy of getting a 40-40. Just as a reminder, how many times has 40-40, 40 homers, 40 stolen bases, happened in the history of Major League Baseball? The answer, Kelly, is six. Thanks for answering. Jose Canseco, 1988.
Really?
Barry Lamar Bonds, 1996. Both of those guys had 42 ding-dongs and 40 stolen bases. A-Rod for the Mariners in 98, 42 homers, 46 stolen bases. Alfonso Soriano of the Nationals, who people might have forgotten, 2006, 46 homers, 41 RBI. Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves in 2023, before he had the injuries, 41 homers and 73 stolen bases, if you recall. And then Shohei, 2024, lest we forget, the only 50-50 guy in history, 54 homers, 59 stolen bases. Pete Crow Armstrong would be the seventh 40-40 guy, though.
That's an awesome list to join. I actually feel like I could have gotten most of those.
And by the way, if you add up Shohei's, just for anybody wondering, if you added up Shohei's WAR from his 85 and two-third innings of 1.79 ERA pitching and his WAR from hitting this year, and Shohei just went on the IL, right? He's out till just before the end of the regular season. His WAR combined doesn't come close to Pete Crow Armstrong's. Pete Crow Armstrong still has a 3.2 WAR advantage over Shohei and 3.5 over everybody else. So those are done. Cy Young, I will just give you the tango numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Schlittler 84.3 to Cease 70.4. Schlittler's minus 1,400. And in the NL, The Miz 83.3 to Sanchez 73.7. The Miz minus 1,000. These are over too, guys. These are over. And they deserve to be over. I'm sorry, Dylan Cease, guys, but by the tango formula, he's worse in everything except for strikeouts. That's it. And that's only by seven. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Derek Stevens, Shangri-La in the desert. Gil Alexander. Kelly's behind the glass because Kelly's got to work on some graphics for Elihu. Elihu Voistel basically sent a sheet with nothing but decimal points. So Kelly is tasked with turning that into a graphic that will make some sense. Good luck to him. Real quick, before we get to Mike Reardon from Right Angle Sports for a live college football release here. Cody Betts Football on Twitter. Gil and Kelly getting me off the Titans and on the Steelers for Survivor. Oh, boy, don't hold us to it. Circus Sports, thank you, Mike Rouse, for letting us know. Circus Sports responded to Cleve T and said there will be times when a game is a pick 'em, just none this week, they say, in Circa Millions. Ted G, thanks, guys. You just inadvertently answered a question for me. I couldn't figure out why. I had recently seen some half-point spreads versus pick 'em. I didn't think about teaser implications. Real Knicks, how am I the only one that's not seen the Sydney Sweeney commercial? Oh, wait, I know. It's because I just came home from a trip to Australia and have been sleeping ever since. And then Money Gun Guz, who did really well in Millions last year, he says, I'm locked in, I believe that's what he says, for his two Survivor picks. Lions and Chargers, and I have 5 millions. But Lions and Chargers for his Survivor picks. He goes for my, let's see, what else does he have here? I can't read the rest of that because I'm not sure what you're trying to say there. It might be a typo. He says, let's have a great year, friends. I'm with you. And finally, Tony Hernandez, fellas, Jets, Titans, hard pass for me. Chargers, Steelers look inviting for sure. As for the Raiders, isn't Merritt a decent replacement? He is. Not that I would ever want anything positive to go for the Raiders since I'm a diehard Chargers fan. Man. And David Donnelly, Kelly's big on the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell to win Coach of the Year, 20-1. We shall see. Fantasy football champion Matt Walsh has me. Gil has me dying after hearing Chas v'chalila. Shana tova to you, sir. You too. By the way, happy new year to all who celebrate as well. Let's do it. College football live release with Right Angle Sports is Mike Reardon. Mike joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Big winner for us last week doing this. And remember, Mike, first of all, good morning, Mike. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Good morning, Gil.
Thanks for joining.
It's fun to be 1-1 instead of 0-2, and I got introduced to the network hard out last week. That was a new one for me, so thank you.
That's right. There are hard outs. We must abide by the hard outs. It's not a podcast. My apologies for not prepping you on that.
No apology necessary, Gil.
Real quick before we get to the Right Angle Sports release and the release procedure, which we will talk before that, you on Twitter, you're not the first, Mike, to get into a little back and forth with our friend Stevie Fezzik, who is a much nicer person in real life than he is on Twitter. Because on Twitter, he is unbearable. What was the little back and forth, and what would you like to say about it?
Yeah, just, you know, Fez, I put up something that I thought, you know, Ed was Hall of Fame worthy. You know, we've been talking about Dr. Bob being perhaps the first tout in, and I think that would be well-deserved. You know, I put up something that they both deserve to be in, and Fezzik, he kind of just started ranting on and on about how Dr. Bob was better and why Bob was better, and I was like, that was not my point. My point was, you know, once, if we break the tout barrier and allow people in who sold picks, if Bob goes in, I think Ed at Right Angle Sports deserves to go in not long after. And that was my main point. And I knew Fezzik knew that. And so I was extra hard on Fezzik just because I thought I might be able to draw that out of him. And, you know, me and Fezzik are on good terms. And I was glad to have him say that about Ed belonging in.
Yeah. And I believe in the central point of that, which is of pick sellers, Dr. Bob, and the Ed you're referring to, by the way, for people who don't know, is Ed Golden, the founder of Right Angle Sports. Those two should be the guys in. I think we all can agree on that. And you're right. Fezzik took it in a different direction. But, you know, that's our Stevie. All right. Let's do the release first before we talk about other college football stuff. Because I don't want to get this too close. Because then people, if I get it too close to the end, people are going to be like, it's total go on the first one. But here's the procedure. Right Angle Sports release procedure. Mike is going to give us a rotation number, and he's going to give us a bet. Before you submit the bet, you're just going to add the bet to your bet slip. We'll give you 30 seconds to find it. Then Mike is going to either say go. If he says go, you bet it immediately, or cancel. If he says cancel, it is not a bet. You will remove it from the bet slip, and we will do this all over again. Okay. Mike, without further ado, the show is yours. What do you got?
Yeah, the first setup is going to be 315 Missouri, Kansas over 50.5.
Mizzou and Kansas. Throw out the records when these two teams face each other. Not a lot of love lost. What other cliches can I come up with? Mizzou and Kansas, over 50.5, rotation number 315. I am repeating it because I am stalling so that you have some time to put it in your bet slip. Rotation number 315, Missouri, Kansas, over 50.5. All right, Mike, I think we've given them enough time. Yes, okay. This, of course, is tonight, right? This is tonight's game.
I thought it was Friday.
Pardon me. I forgot it's Thursday. Yes. Tomorrow night. This is not a Saturday game. So this should be easy to be found. All right. What's the deal?
Yeah. This play is a go bet. 315 Missouri, Kansas over 50.5.
Over. It's a go. Over 50.5 Missouri and Kansas. Let us see the Christmas tree light up again. It's the power of Right Angle Sports here on a numbers game that it will move the college football lines dramatically. And let's see how quickly it takes from 50.5. I'm just on one shop here offshore, one of the pillars of the offshore. Let's see here. Yep, here we go. That's moving. We're on the move. Over 50.5, Missouri and Kansas. Why the over here, Mike?
Yeah, just real quickly. So Leopold called this his most complete offense since he's been at Kansas. So that's pretty exciting to hear from him. And he also gets his offensive coordinator back from Penn State. They're pretty excited about the quarterback Marshall. He's got some mobility. All of our numbers have this higher than this as is before those subjective notes. So we like over 50.5 here.
Okay. I'm already seeing 51 consensus on the way up. Here we go. All right. Let's talk about some other things with college football. Now, you want games to be shortened? What is this about?
Oh, no. I do not want games
to
be shortened.
I was going to say.
That's kind of my passion. I know it's probably from a bitter place of having bets canceled. For the viewers that don't know, at most main sports books, if the game doesn't go 55 minutes, it'll be canceled. So if they only play 54 minutes, it could be 200-0. All bets are canceled, whether you have the favorite or the underdog gets canceled. And, you know, I kind of understand it when Georgia's playing Mississippi Valley State. It's just such a bloodbath, and maybe it's they talk about player safety and, you know, what are we doing here? I still don't like it, but I understand it there. Last week we had a game. Presbyterian was playing at Mercer, and Presbyterian was getting about 21 points. Presbyterian actually beat Mercer last year, and they ended up playing 12-minute quarters in the third and fourth quarter, which ended up making that under 55 minutes. And I thought, I just don't think that's a great way example to tell your kids that, hey, we need to shorten the game when it's teams that should be somewhat comparable. And it just feels like it's just not a lot of belief in them. And, you know, if the game's going so bad, you know, it can be shortened. And I just don't like it. Am I bitter from losing bets over 20 years? Of course. But that's kind of my little bit of my passion there.
There was another game, too, right? Arizona State, Morgan State got shortened, I believe, to 10 minutes earlier this year.
I believe so.
From the standard 15 minutes. Okay. The other thing, we sort of alluded to this last week because I was talking about, all right, is college football always difficult to figure out, you know, heading into week zero and week one, how good or bad these teams are. It's college, after all, the players turn over. And now we have the transfer portal, so it turns over even more dramatically, rosters do. How far off can we be on projections in this era? You wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, I do think we can be more off than ever. And, you know, something we always looked at going into week two is about the overreactions. And maybe two, three, up to, you know, 5 years and further back, you know, we would know what the line should have been in the preseason for these week two games. And if, you know, some crazy stuff happened in week one and they moved the line 6, 7, 8 points, you know, we were always looking to kind of bet against the overreaction. But now with the transfer portal, this first game, it means more than ever. Just an example, the LSU-Clemson game, you know, that line was 10. And, you know, if they played again the next day, you know, we kind of usually it would be like, okay, the closing line meant way more than the result. You know, maybe move the line 2, 3, maybe 4 at the most. But if, you know, if LSU played Clemson again, you know, this Saturday, I don't see how you wouldn't move it almost at least 10 points, which it's a new era for how much to react.
Think about what you just said there, though. That should be foremost in people's mind. Like if you redid that line, the dramatic change should let us know, right? It's a cautionary tale for any other season moving forward at the beginning. We don't know much, and don't take the market as this sort of sacred, you know, thing that they know something you don't, because they actually do not. By the way, I should always ask this on the releases. To what number would you still play the over on Missouri, Kansas?
Yeah, we like this through 52. And okay. So we think there's some room here. So that would be our limit.
Okay. You like it to 52 right now. I'm still seeing 51-ish, right? 51.5. It hasn't gone past 52 yet. Okay. And then finally, just real quick on your last 45 seconds here. No play on Texas, Ohio State. Give us a thought or two on that.
You know, the big games, not that we will never have a bet on them or attack them, but I mean, in general, that line might be, in theory, the most accurate one of the week. It's got the most eyes on it. All the information that is available is known by most people. So, you know, not to say we'll never bet on that, but, you know, we usually kind of stick a little bit below that line of marquee game.
Mike, can't thank you enough. You can follow Mike, by the way, on Twitter at MikeR_RAS. That's for Right Angle Sports, part of the Right Angle Sports team. And shout out to Ed Golden as well. I'm with you on your sentiment. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Gil. RAS picks /VEASAN for your discount this week.
Bang! Got the promo in as well. Thank you, Mike. We'll come back. Bill Krakenberger, Elihu Foystel. It's a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you're better than the experts?
Do you? Including me.
Now's your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest puts you in the same pick and format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the one the pros play. Top Average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational field. It's free to play. You can register anytime during the season. Edge Boost offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. Don't have an Edge Boost account yet? Sign up at edgeboost.io. With promo code VSIN and make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today at VSIN.com/Joe. That's vsin.com/Joe.
I signed up for that yesterday. Beat me.
Did you really?
Yeah. Come clown me.
Good on you.
Hey, Gil, do you think it's coincidence that earlier in the show that I apologized to Jadarian Price for calling him Jadarian for 7 months, and then our boss Steve Cohen sent us a 2026 NFL pronunciation guide about 7 minutes later? Think that's a coincidence?
That's right. He's like, oh, Kelly, why can't you pronounce Jadarian Jadarian? We get tweets beating the book. Canarsie born 65. It will be soap. Oh, this is a great tweet. This not quite as good as the Hasv Chalila tweet that I just got, but this one is great. He says, it will be so perfect if both teams play well tonight in a 27-24 game, so we still don't know which travel plan was the right one.
Oh, great call.
Great call. Great call, Todd. Absolutely. Three, Jacques. Gil, to add to the Vikings quarterback talk, Murray may have the best receivers that he's ever played with, but he didn't grow any taller during the offseason. I don't know that. He might have still have a growth spurt. Also, when Kelly said shagged, I thought that was going to be followed by something entirely different. Yeah. And Corbin said, all jokes, Gil. I love the spins. Just pulling your leg. Talking about the Anderson .Paak thing. I know you were. By the way, it's Anderson .Paak. I've been mispronouncing it. I always say Anderson .Paak. Earned burn. While watching the game on Peacock, the Hard Rock Bets commercials for 10-cent baseball lines were run a couple times. The promo ended August 31st. Brilliant. These listeners don't miss a thing. Love you guys. Mark Gupta. Hey, Gil. I know Veasan is a... Oh, no, I'm not going to talk about that. Uncle Bush. Do you think PCA will focus more on base hits rather than ding-dongs so as to increase the stolen base opportunities to get to 40-40? Bet total base and stolen base props, perhaps. It's an interesting thing to bring up. I definitely think PCA knows the 40-40 thing, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that in mind. He is aware that he's crossed the home run barrier. He's got 41. He is aware that he's four stolen bases shy. We do have 2.5 weeks of baseball left. He should be able to get those four stolen bases and enough opportunities to do that without having to change anything about what he's doing. So I don't think he's going to change anything specifically. But yeah, he's aware of it. Let's put it this way. If we were having this discussion with 5 days left in the season, 5 games left, and he was still at 36 or 37, then I think you're right. Then I think maybe he changes it up. But right now, he can just still play baseball. They're just trying to play baseball, get the Cubs to the playoffs. This is from J.P. Roberts. Has anyone checked on Scott Hansen? What is that a reference to? I know he does Red Zone, but like, is everything okay with Scott Hansen?
Like just getting ready?
Well, yeah.
I guess that.
Octobox.
Hopefully there's not another reason we're supposed to be talking about Scott Hansen, like a bad reason.
Oh, I hope not.
I do wonder what his lead up to the season is like. Like, does he just go to a remote island for like a week and a half?
He just practices saying Duval County as much as he can.
Like, he's such a pro. I kind of think he does.
Duval County. Johnny Ringo, Gilly's favorite active baseball player, the one that has stats that can be compared to a Barry Bonds reference. I gave you all the 40-40s, not just Barry Bonds. Mm-hmm. I resemble that remark. Oh, Patrick Kelly, this is a good point about the game tonight. The Melbourne Cricket Grounds in Melbourne, Australia.
Seats over 100,000.
Yeah, he says, I know you want to keep talking Aussie. I did not know that the Melbourne Cricket Grounds has a 100,000 seating capacity.
Okay, so I've heard that several times.
They expecting a sellout?
That's the part I have not heard. I don't know.
At 10 o'clock in the morning?
Right, because you know how it, maybe not all the time at the NFL we see this, but we see this in other sports.
Where they play, school day? Sorry.
They play in like a big stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and they, like we see it in baseball sometimes, right? They cover up some of the sections because they're not going to use a ball. Like, I guess I'm kind of thinking that's what's happening, like but I don't know.
Like Mount Davis in Oakland when they used to cover up the...
Exactly.
Yeah. Grant, betting X Factors. Gents, two notes from the Seahawks game last night. One, Tush Bush offsides. Why didn't the broadcast bring on a rules analyst to explain something confusing to so many? I didn't think it was that confusing.
You know what? I think that's a good point. Too close to the sun thing. Like, they should do that. Like, there's things we should do at the start of every season.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that's kind of what he's saying.
For the people who are new to football?
Right. this only became a major officiating issue last year. Okay. Right?
On our group chat last night, Felica was looking at odds, and he thought he was looking at odds to the Seahawks game last night, but instead he made a mistake that he was looking at Rams
odds. Gosh,
and he goes, I was looking at the wrong game. And Todd said, Chris, do we need to go over all the 32 football teams for you right now? So you're right. Maybe football broadcasts should act like nobody knows football at the beginning of every year.
I don't even want to say that. That's a more complicated thing. I'm not saying, like, don't know anything about it.
Anyway, betting X Factors, Grant, he also adds, two, going into halftime, Vrabel had a smile like they were dominant and not just lucky. Auto live bet Seahawks. I did have a live under 31.5 that got home because that just felt underish the whole way through.
I did small.
Yeah. We don't like talking about in games because everybody's like, oh, I'm sure
you did. No, there's I did small, but that was once we got into the second half, like I kept almost going to hit it like again and again and again, and I only stayed on the one. And I'm okay with that because we talked about it. The Drew Lock turnaround in the second, I wasn't expecting to see that big of and good of a turnaround from him.
I really do believe that. Big shout out to Brian Fleury, the Seahawks offensive coordinator who had never called plays mm-hmm. at this level before, and then he was great. By the way, Sam Darnold didn't miss a game all last season. So, you know, we talk about schedule matters. Obviously, injury luck is so much of this game. Darren Frazier, I always look forward to Thursdays on VSiN, but to have Crack and Foistle on the same day, absolutely freaking legendary. That's all in caps. He screamed it. This is like being at an NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony listening to the legends. Doesn't get any better. Let's go. Thank you, Darren. I love the enthusiasm. We here are a little more, we're a little more low key because Elihu is so smart that I want him to do it in a way that he conveys the information properly. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. And we're trying to help out that process. Kevin, sorry, if you're watching at home, there is going to be a very important spreadsheet that appears on screen.
Yes.
That I couldn't really do anything more about with the limited time. So sorry, you're going to have to look at a spreadsheet, but Elihu's going to talk you through it. So that's what's important. And just to clarify, this is that Australia game. Oh, seats over 100,000 people, the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And they did sell out in 30 minutes once this game's tickets went on sale.
Wow.
And there is expected to be over 100,000 people in attendance.
Damn.
Yeah. At what? You did that really well. At 10:30 a.m. on a school day.
On a school day.
In broad daylight.
Broad daylight. Kevin Downs, my brother from another. I think Cohen been drinking Tennessee whiskey. Talking about Zach Cohen. He says, I take Gino over Cam Ward any day. Free Wendy. Love the free Wendy.
Oh, there
That's fantastic. I got to call my girl Wendy Williams. I'll just be like, free you, Wendy.
For the fans of some of the teams that are usually always bad, yeah. I was kind of sitting there thinking that during the Zach segment where I'm like, sometimes they go too far at the beginning of seasons against their team. Like, it's going to be another Mets season. Like, they're going to suck. We're going to go against them. I feel like that's Jets fans fairly often.
Parles, Grover Cleveland producer, Jeffrey Parlay, big Jets fan. He's not excited.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Bobtimus Prime. Isn't it telling how a beautiful woman and you-know-what is always a winning sales strategy? We're simple creatures, us men, and I'm fine with that. That's very true. We're simple creatures. Yeah.
It's a very, very simple marketing campaign that works.
Again, I'm just fascinated by the fact that apparently she researched...
I'm fascinated by that
she
part,
She researched
too, yeah.
the industry, and she apparently called them and got equity in the company.
And created the entire ad
idea. And walked them through the ad. Let's place a basketball here, football here.
I actually did think the pool table line was funny.
Oh, I did think that was funny.
Yeah, that was
she's
funny.
Like, you can't bet on this, but...
Yeah, I look good on it. Yeah, yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. Okay, we didn't give much talk to this because it's football after all, so tennis is, again, tennis decently goes away. But just to let us know again, we're down to the semis. It's Aryna Sabalenka and Jesse Pegula. On the ladies' side today, Coco Gauff and Elena Rybakina, the other ladies' semi. Sabalenka over a $2 favorite against Jesse. Coco's even money. Rybakina is actually the slight favorite. Then tomorrow it's the men's semis. Those are big favorites on the men's side. Sasha Zverev and Ben Shelton, huge favorites in their respective matches. My two bets today, and these might be my two last of the tournament, I'm thinking, both overs in both of the women's semis. Rybakina, Coco over 22.5. Jesse and Aryna Sabalenka over 22. At this point, this tournament has just been ghastly. If you're just asking me who I'm rooting for, just at this point,
this
just to win.
This is a great last four left.
The women's side is a fantastic final four. Like I said, only Iga. Listen, here's what I will say. I'll be a man enough to admit it. Iga does not have the mental steeliness of these other players.
Yeah.
She's as great as them, maybe even better, but she does not buckle down.
Real quick, do you hate me if I go a Pegula outright ticket right now?
I don't hate you. Any one of these four can win.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do that.
But the men's side is feeling like Ben Shelton and Sasha Zverev on a Sunday final that none of us will watch because we'll all be watching football. Coming back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN with Kraken.